Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track. And today we are doing
Bjork's Volta.
This is her... album is this?
It came out in 2007. I think it's her sixth album. And
how do you feel about it?
I don't really like it that much.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still got some good songs.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's start with Missed Opportunities.
Yeah.
Which is where we talk about the things that we just kind of forgot in this last one
episode. Yeah. So when we were talking about Greg Araki's Nowhere, I forgot to ask, what was the craziest party you've ever been to?
I was in London in 2000 and heard about a party that was in like some suburban neighborhood, and it turned out to be in this old house that had a lot of skinheads in it, but they were gay. And then it was like every floor of the old house had a different kind of music, and then the top floor of the attic had mattresses everywhere.
I've seen that video.
And people were, you know, hanging out.
And you were the only non-skinhead there?
Yeah.
Were they going to skin you?
No. So they were into it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. How about you?
I can't help it. I'm going to take these away.
Okay. I'll put them over here. What about you? What's the craziest party you've been to?
One time... we were throwing a party at my house for the first time ever, my brother and I.
And you mean your, like, growing up house?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we were already, like, grown at this point. So
you still lived at home?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, some people do that.
I'm just getting the context.
And,
I'm setting the scene.
I had just had my wisdom teeth taken out, and I was on a liquid diet. And so, you should never drink.
This sounds like a Greg Araki movie.
You should never drink when you're on a liquid diet. Because you'll get sick. And that's what happened. And at least I was at my house, though. I could just, like, jump into my bed.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And what about, what's the trashiest place you've ever lived?
Same, my house growing okay. up. Because, I mean, it wasn't, like, you know, trailer trash, but it was, like, you live in a place for 12 years and things are gonna, like, get weird.
Not on my watch.
You know, at one point we had those rabbit ear antennas with tinfoil on it. And, you know, sometimes there'd be, like, chicken bones just laying around on the counter, dishes piling up. We had two Rottweilers, so they had their, like, paw prints on the glass a lot. They tore the screen up, and so we had to get rid of it at one point. We tore the rug up at one point, and because we were replacing it with hardwood floors. But projects, like, house projects just took a while to...
Oh, God.
To form, so you know, it was like living with these things for a while, and the backyard was just like tumbleweeds for a while, but until we got it fixed.
Why does this all of a sudden make everything make sense about you?
Thank you. What about you? What's the trashiest place you've ever lived?
Probably my place in Marina del Rey when I met you.
Oh, wow, that okay, I guess.
Because it was like, because it didn't have a view.
Yeah, that was, like, a really nice prison.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. But, yeah, didn't have... You looked out at a wall.
Yeah, I was wondering why... One time I went there by myself, and I just felt really weird. Like, unsettling.
Well, I'm glad you stuck around. What else did you forget to mention?
I forgot to mention Sarah Michelle Gellar auditioned for the film Nowhere.
Yeah, she was, I could see her fitting in.
Yeah, but, I mean, she didn't make the cut, because I feel like she was probably too, like, they probably got that prissy vibe from her.
Yeah. Did you make it to Juju Fruit's party?
No. Or did you?
No.
Are you gonna kick the kick the can later? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, insert it in your clammy crevice.
No, I'm just gonna kick it down Market Street.
Okay. Well, in the last Radiohead podcast, I said the Chinese pipo was a bowed instrument, but it's actually a plucked instrument.
Unplucked.
So I'm sorry.
Unplucked.
For that.
What else did you forget to tell us? Because this is your moment to shine.
I forgot to tell you that Let Down by Radiohead from OK Computer has somehow entered the charts after so many years. It wasn't even a single to begin with, and it's having its running up that hill moment, you know?
Yeah, and I did some research, and look what I found.
This is a lot. What?
It became like when TikTok was going to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, like Trump was going to shut TikTok down, or they were going to like that. It became the anthem of like, you know, save TikTok.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Radiohead, I forgot to tell you that last year some theaters showed the original Nosferatu with Radiohead's Kid A, Amnesia, and Amnesiac as a soundtrack.
Mm. Did you know that Tom York was going to do a song for the Twilight sequel because he really loved the franchise?
No, he didn't.
But I guess he's a fan of vampire movies.
Well.
And he offered. Look at this article. I'm not making this shit up.
Well, you dodged a bullet.
Okay. Let's talk about the album. When was it released?
May 1st, 2007.
On what label?
One Little Independent.
And what kind of music is it?
It's electropop, world, experimental, avant-pop.
And what are the themes that it tries to cover?
Humanity, hope, motherhood, independence, environmental, and cultural identity.
Is that motherhood like mother or motherhood like crying baby?
Both.
Okay. And what's notable about this album?
It was recorded across the globe, including New York City, London, Jamaica, Brussels, and Bamako.
Where's that?
In Mali.
Hmm. But she records her albums internationally, I feel like. Like, this isn't a weird thing.
No, but, like, this is the first time.
No, but...
You know, it's usually in some stuffy studio in the major city, like, you know, Paris, London, New York, whatever.
Yeah.
Iceland.
Okay.
Anyway, we got some keywords for this album, and that's justice, fire, anthropology, wanderlust, activist, brass, boats, feminist, red, neon green, electric blue, flags, trumpets, tribal beats, bombastic. Wow.
Did you
put that on the flyer?
Nothing else will fit. We're doing Night of a Thousand Bjorks in San Francisco. So if you listen to this and you want to check it out. That's all I'm going to say.
It's a secret party.
So after Medulla in 2004, Bjork promoted this through interviews and videos, but she didn't tour so that she would be present for her daughter.
Yeah, and then in 2005, she collaborated with UNICEF for Indonesian tsunami relief via Army of Me remixes, a Army of Me remix album, which is fan-made remixes and covers.
That's cool. So she like... She put it out there as, like, something to sell. I wonder if the fans got money, or if they agreed to, like, yeah, I'm cool with, like... Because it's fan remixes, and they're giving the money to UNICEF.
Oh.
Do you think the fans got paid?
No, but I think, you know, just knowing that you're on a Bjork album is reward enough.
That's an assumption. Somebody's like... If it was like, Monique... Or Nicki Minaj, they'd want to get paid.
Who's Monique?
Monique.
Okay.
Remember last night we were watching The Queen of Comedy with Samore, and she was talking about
Monique? Well, Then in 2006, her partner, Matthew Barney, invited her to contribute to his art film, Drawing Restraint 9, which is about Japanese whaling.
And she also acted in the film.
Yeah, and they traveled to Japan to study music for the soundtrack.
Is that where they filmed Love?
No.
Oh. Okay. The soundtrack also included Tanya Tagaq, which we've talked about before. Yeah, she's a throat singer.
Yeah.
What else?
And Japanese children singing, and a show played by Mayumi Miyata.
And no score and vocals.
Yeah, by Shiro Nomura.
Okay. And the brass orchestra, which was later became much more prominent in Volta.
Yeah. So at this time, Björk was feeling politically restless in New York City and restless for motherhood.
Politically or particularly?
Both.
Okay.
No, politically.
Okay. So what'd she do with this restless energy?
She got a houseboat to record. So she can travel, and she, that's why some tracks have ship sounds and foghorns. And so she went to Malta, La Gomera, Tunisia. Is that Tunisia?
Tunisia.
And she was also at the 23rd floor of the W Hotel.
Like she recorded there?
Yeah, I'm assuming because that's right by SF MoMA, right?
Yeah. Have you been to the 23rd floor of the W Hotel?
No, have you?
No, but why don't we go?
Yeah, because I think that's where they showed Drawing Restraint 9 by Matthew Barney. And so while he was probably doing business stuff at the MoMA, she was just up in her hotel room making music. And I know what that's like. Anyway, she was reading books, too. What books?
What?
What book did she read?
She read The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. And what is that about?
I've read it. It's like a mix of myth.
Did you read it because of her?
No, I read it before her, before I even knew about her. And so it was a mix of myth, language, science, and humanism.
Okay. And how did she describe it?
She just described it as an optimistic... It's optimistic about connecting things.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
It's like that movie, I Heart Huckabees, where everything is connected, you know? Okay. Have you seen that?
Yes. I got that right away. That's a good, good way to describe it.
The original working titles of this album was Voodoo or Voltage.
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 So why did she pick Volta?
She just Googled the word and she found out that it was an Italian scientist, Alessandro Volta, the inventor of the battery.
And it was also a type of dance.
Yeah.
Volta.
It was also, can you do that dance?
No.
And it was
I know it though.
Show it to me. And it was a river in Africa as well.
It still is.
Yeah.
And then she, what did she state that the theme was?
Fuck nationalism.
Hooray for that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. What else? What else? Any other thoughts on
this
Volta?
Is notoriously one of the least favored albums among fans.
I would say it's low on my list of albums of hers that I like. How about you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sure is. It's down there with Debut. And Debut is only that way because it just sounds dated and it's not her fault. She's just from that time. Mm. But this was sounded horrible from the get-go. Not horrible, that's a strong word, but...
You didn't care for it.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then I was waiting for it to grow on me. I was like, mm-mm.
What else is something that didn't grow on you, even though you gave it a chance?
Spicy food? I don't know. Okay.
And what are your closing thoughts on the album?
We're not there yet. But... because we do closing thoughts at the end.
Oh, okay. What are your... what are your closing thoughts about this particular time that we're talking about the album?
If Volta were a white girl, her name would be Erica.
It's 1237, not 1236.
Okay. You're going to tell on me?
Wow.
Okay. If Volta were a white girl.
It's okay. Erica. Do you know an Erica?
Her name would be... I don't know any Ericas.
Okay.
Except Badu.
Yeah, and she sponsors children in Africa. She makes her own canned preserves.
Erica Badu.
She loves camping. And her social media is full of hiking pics. And she dates guys with dreadlocks.
She sounds very Seattle.
Sounds like one of my cousin's friends.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, cousin.
You've been called out.
I assume this is talking about Nicole.
I was going to have her here. Next time.
Next time. She's too busy for us.
Yeah. She would have loved that Erica joke.
Yeah. Shout out on the engagement, though.
Not everyone knows.
I know, but now they do.
No. Okay. Oh,
she doesn't want people to know?
I don't know.
Oh, well, tough shit. No one told me not to say anything. Okay. Damn, talk about the artwork and design.
Yeah, it was photographed by Nick Knight, and the sculpture is designed by Bernard
Will. Can you describe it first before you talk about it?
Okay, it's primarily, there's a red background, picture that.
Yeah, kind of red orange.
On top you got Bjork, she's looking like a giant, she's inside a giant pear.
Oh, I thought she looks like she's inside of a Christmas ornament.
With big feet? Yeah, that would make a good Christmas ornament.
With big blue feet.
And
just, and a bottle cap on her head.
Yeah, lots of colors.
What is that? Oh, is that one of those things that they put over the beds, like at Versailles? Remember we were walking through and the beds had those, like, canopy things?
Yeah.
Okay.
A butt plug? So, I don't know.
I mean, the whole thing, she could be a butt plug. And then you just have the feet sticking out of your ass.
Yeah, for people who are into feet.
Yeah, so that was the album artwork.
Yeah, so the packaging is really interesting because the sculpture on the cover is made of styrofoam and lacquer spray paint. And it was inspired by the artwork of Italian artist Luigi Antoni.
You know him?
No. What do you think?
She looks like a fucking Happy Meal toy.
Yeah, she does. And the sleeve photos inside, they show her dancing with fire, and she's wearing tribal makeup inspired by German artist Antje Majewski.
Is fire like a DJ or a...
She's dancing with fire, like, you know, fire.
Oh, actually. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was like tricky, goldy fire. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's wearing a crochet outfit designed by the Icelandic Love Corporation.
You got anything by them?
Mm-mm.
We'll have to get some.
I would love to.
All right.
Let's call them up.
Yeah, we'll tell them we got a podcast and we gave them a shout out.
So design my outfits.
Yes. And who's the photography by?
Inez Van Lemsweerd and... Venud Matadin.
Lem's weird?
I don't know. Okay. How do you pronounce it?
Sure that's right.
The graphics are designed by in Paris again.
A long collaborator of hers.
Yeah.
Long time. And she just described the artwork as feeling very yin and yang.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because the cover is more masculine with the big feet and the bold pose, you know?
Okay.
And the bulbous belly thing. Yeah. And then you got the sleeve photos, which are more feminine, delicate. You got the crochets.
Right, dancing with fire.
Softer tones.
The softer side of... What did we say last podcast? The softer side of something.
I don't remember. Oh. Anyway.
This is going to be on next week's missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Okay.
we got the unique packaging. Okay, so the cover image is actually a sticker. I know. I couldn't believe it too. So I had to peel it off to open the album, and it feels like opening a Christmas gift until you listen to the CD.
Then it's like coal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a meme.
Okay.
The AI artwork where the family's giving a kid a present and he's crying and they're all laughing at him on Christmas, and it's the Volta CD.
Okay.
Anyway, we got the first track, and that's Earth Intruders.
Tell us about that, Mama.
Well, when I first heard that Timbaland would be collaborating with Bjork on this album, I flipped my shit.
Did you?
Yeah.
You a big fan?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like his stuff from ever since I heard it from the late 90s on the radio to, you know.
Yeah.
And he was doing good stuff at that time with, you know, all the people. And then when I heard this track, I was truly disappointed.
Me too. Because it's like there was a time and place for Timbaland. Like, he was like a, you know, club banger, kind of fun. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you were just wanted some, you know, kind of empty pop to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, wow, this will be an interesting combination of her and him, because he's so commercial and she's so experimental at this point in her career. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And it turned out to be like an ugly baby.
Tell me about it.
It's like two beautiful parents have an ugly baby.
Right. So that happens. That's a good analogy.
All right.
Yeah, so it just sounds cheaper than what I was expecting. And, you know, I've always appreciated Timbaland's work with Missy Elliott and Justin Timberlake. But they both just don't sound like themselves here. They sound like they're trying too hard to impress each other.
Or impress the market.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Tell me more.
After all the strangeness of Medulla, I was hoping for something more accessible. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
I guess I lost my little baby girl at this point.
But you got her back in the
show. I did get her back.
Okay.
Thank you. And look, that's Puffed. That's Diddy.
Wait, that's Bjork and Diddy on a couch?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other people there.
Scary. You do not want to be with Diddy on a couch.
She looks like she's giving birth to something.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay. She wrote the song after visiting Aceh, Indonesia.
Is that how you say it?
Aceh. Huh. Yeah. In the aftermath of the tsunami. And she described it as very traumatic, that you could still smell the smell of death a year later.
Have you ever smelled death?
Yes. That cat that died in our backyard.
Wow. I don't know.
That smelled really bad. I figure that's what death smells like. Just like bad.
I guess I just try not to smell it.
Hmm.
But on the flight back to New York, she had a vivid dream where a wave of people overtook the plane. And the plane crashed into a White House.
And this is before... Wait, no, this is after 9/11.
Yeah. So that's probably why she's having plane crash dreams and living in New York City. And
of things crashing into, like, the White House, because...
Yeah, and she's just... The plane
crashed into the Pentagon.
I think it was more like, you know, the tsunami people are coming into the White House and being like, give us justice.
She was on mushrooms. All right, let's talk about production.
Yeah, as we said, it was produced by Timbaland and his right-wing man, Don Jones.
Right-wing man?
Wait, what's that? Isn't that the term?
Like right hand man?
Right hand man.
Okay.
Yeah,
Don. Because there's wingman, which is like the person that you take out to yeah, the clubs.
I got the two mixed up.
But that's fine. Maybe he was his right hand wingman.
Yeah. Okay. Donja.
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 I wonder if that's like for danger. Like
danger.
Donja. Oh,
maybe.
Watch out. There's danger around every corner.
I didn't do much research on them.
Yeah, I can tell. Who does this feature?
Kanono, number one Congolese group, known for their electric likembes.
What is a likembes?
It's like that thing I have.
An Atari, a Nintendo controller?
Thumb piano.
Oh, thumb piano. Okay.
Kalimba. But Bjork recorded with them at the studio in Caraibes in Brussels in May of 2006 because she couldn't. It was hard for them to record in Africa, I guess.
I randomly know that.
Because they couldn't record in Kinshasa, so this session was relocated. What were you gonna say?
That's that studio they recorded at Caraibes is Caribbean in French and Belgian.
Mm.
So it was at the Caribbean studio, but in Brussels.
All right! Wow! All right,
there you go.
And there was also additional percussion by Chris Corsano.
And the original version was over 10 minutes long.
Yikes. I can't even stand it at the length it's at yes. now. But,
yeah. Maybe you just get numb after, like, 5 minutes and...
It turns into, a jam thing.
Hmm.
Like a fish song.
Yeah.
So in the song, she repeats, "We are the earth intruders," over tribal stomping rhythms.
She does it a lot. Like, she does this repetition that turns into almost a melody.
Yeah.
She does that.
Yeah, in the beginning of the song, it sounds like butter churning, like marching in the mud.
Butter churning, marching in the mud?
Yeah. Not in a good way. You know what I mean?
No, I don't, but... Okay.
Oh, man.
And the synths definitely have a video gamey kind of vibe. Especially, like, old-school video games. Like, you know? Like, 8-bit.
Yeah. And I'm... Probably would appreciate it more if it was like if it was in an action movie or something, or sci-fi or something.
Yeah, because you just have a little snippet of it and it seems very chaotic, and then you just keep going. But this, you just have to sit through the whole thing.
Yeah. Anyways, I get it. The song ends.
Like, imagine, you know, like, somebody's playing a violin and they hit that one, like, some of those really high notes that sound almost like nails on a chalkboard, but in combination with the rest of the, you know, violin playing, it has a purpose. But yeah. If you just had to hear that,
I just feel like when you have a visual aid, you understand the music more, and I guess yes. that sounds a little ignorant of me
and tangential.
Yeah, so the song ends with melodic ship sounds and fog horns, and what she did was sampled it on a MIDI drum kit.
Because she was on a houseboat.
Yeah, what would you call that? Like, ship core, ship tech?
Sure.
You know,
Captain Core?
Yacht rock.
Okay.
So, fun fact, Timbaland sampled Bjork on Missy Elliott's Hit Him with the D 10 years earlier.
Isn't it hit him with the he?
Hit him with the he. I always do that.
Really? I didn't know that. Now I want to listen to that sample.
All right, let's check it out.
Well, fuck my mama.
Fuck you, what?
I didn't know that was on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Does this song have lyrics?
Yeah.
Tell me about them. And what are they about?
I think it's just her trying to say, like, humans, us as humans, we are the intruders on Earth. Whatever. Like.
No, the Earth was here before we were. And then we came and we started fucking her up. We need
to tap into those more natural instincts and, you know.
What if the natural instincts are fuck this shit up? Like, use my aerosol underarm deodorant.
It's interesting, though, because she's such a big
proponent. Drive my big car.
For technology, so I just don't know how she's trying to find a balance with that.
What did Ali say? It's like the... You can't have the teta and the... Remember, you can't have both things? Oh. It's like you can't have the breast and the pie at the same time in your mouth.
The breasts... I don't know.
You can't be sucking on a tit and sucking on a lollipop at the same time. Or sucking on a tit and eating apple pie at the same time.
Yeah, so
it's just the Spanish way to say you can't have your cake and eat it too.
It's just trying to say that we need to be less, like, humans need to cause less environmental destruction and try to work with nature.
Just think about the children.
It's all about the children. And
they are the future. Yeah. I didn't know Bjork had locks.
Yeah, so speaking more onto the tribal unification fantasy, she's just sort of like rejecting political and religious division.
What?
Yeah. Basically, we're all just disgusting little pigs sucking on the tit of Mother Nature.
All right. I could see her saying that. I think she looks good in this picture of her with, braids.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
One of the lyrics that stands out to me is grinding skeptics into the soil, a shower of goodness coming to end the doubt. Pouring over.
Can you, if you say that like her, then maybe we'll understand. Come on.
It's just, you're grinding the skeptics into the soil, and there's a shower of goodness coming to end the doubt pouring over. Don't you understand?
Okay.
What so else? it's like a flicker of hope amidst the chaos and destruction.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You like the picture of her with the locks.
Yeah.
She looks good.
She looks good.
With
she
the bleach eyebrows and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that going to be our image for the podcast?
No, I think it's copywritten. But we can make our own.
All right. As far as how it was received by the public and by, you know, sort of the music industry at large, tell us about that.
Well, she released a video, okay? And the video was directed by Michel Ocelot.
You know what Ocelot is? The animal?
Maybe it's Ocelot. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
But it's French. Or maybe it's African. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
And he directed French animated films, and it's known for...
That's an ocelot.
Oh, that's cute.
I know. They're like a...
they're like cats.
They're like a cat lion.
You don't like cats.
A cat. They're pretty. I mean, especially this thing.
Do you think you're allergic to wild cats?
Yes, because I was in Mexico and pet a panther. I forget, a baby panther. Mm-hmm. And I got itchy. Mm-hmm.
You know. And anyway, Michel has directed animated films, and he's known for his films.
I'm not proud of that, by the way. It was at, like, a petting zoo, and the panther should not have been in captivity. Just saying. Go on.
He's known for his films about a West African boy called Kiriko. Kiriko.
It's very Kiriko. Lion King, but I don't know. I haven't seen Lion King. Tell me, was it as good?
No, it's not as good as Lion King.
Okay.
She should have called the animators of Lion King. And the first time she performed this live was on SNL in 2007.
Wearing a dress of the same material that you have pants.
Like lamé?
No, like an iridescent thing.
Mmm.
Yeah. This song's being remixed by Lex, Spank Rock, and Jimmy Douglas.
Oh. and I did a mashup of this song with
what a surprise.
MIA's Fire Fire.
Can we hear that now?
Yeah.
Okay, that was good.
Yes.
You should do more mashups. Why haven't you done a mashup album?
Hey, you got a cocktail?
Yeah. The cocktail for this song is the root canal.
Why?
Because this song makes my teeth hurt.
Why? Is it too sweet?
No, it's just painful.
Aw.
I think it's a perfect name for the cocktail because it's chaotic, invasive, and strangely memorable. Just like Earth Intruders.
See, I was thinking something like...
Well, you should have put it down then.
A mudslide. Because there's the mud sounds.
Oh, I was just thinking how it makes me feel, not the visuals. It makes me feel like I'm getting a root canal. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Anyway, the root canal drink that I have just made up has mezcal, rum, fernet, lime juice, and ginger syrup with a bit of walnut bitters.
So the mezcal is like the earthy, like the mud in the mouth.
It has nothing to do with mud. It's a root canal.
And the rum...
Stop trying to make it your own.
It's like Timberland scents in a bottle, and then you got the bronca for the...
Yeah.
You're chewing a tire in the rainforest.
Yeah.
And then that... Yeah.
Okay.
Ginger syrup, tribal spice, and fire. Yeah, you know.
I know.
All right. Let's. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next track.
That's yeah.
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust. Give me some mood and atmosphere for this song.
It's like triumphant, adventurous, and almost epic.
Sounds like a nice candle.
It's one of the few good songs on this album. It's actually my favorite.
It's my favorite too.
All right.
Which isn't saying a lot. And it was written while Bjork was living on a boat, as we talked about earlier. And she was sailing between the islands and harbors. This is Mediterranean, right?
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Beach.
No, I think she was going all over, not just the Mediterranean. Oh, like,
okay. Explain to me the geography of what she was doing, because when you leave the Mediterranean, you're out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Listen.
So you can either go down to Africa, up to like the United Kingdom and Northern Europe, or, I mean, unless you had like something the size of a Titanic, she could cross the Atlantic.
All right. Well, I want to do it.
Girl, you high?
No.
Okay.
We got the production deep dive in that you song has Brass by the Icelandic. The Icelandic.
The Icelandic. That's a good name, Brass by the Icelandic.
The Icelandic brass section.
And she composed the horn melodies to mimic the ship horns, which are very like dissonant and discordant.
Mm-hmm. And the beats are by Mark Bell.
Good old Mark Bell. He's back with a vengeance.
Mm, but not for long.
Not for long. Did he die?
Yeah. Oh. That's so sad.
Really?
Yeah. I think in 2014.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. Like right after this.
No. 7 years after.
Oh, okay. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
He didn't work with her after this?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll find out. Stay tuned for the next episode of Sonic Serial when we do... What's Bjork's next album?
Not the next episode, but...
No, for the future of the...
Oh, the next one, that would be Biophilia.
Yeah. I don't think he was on that.
Okay.
Let's find out. Tune into the future and find out.
The song ends with the Morse code style sounds performed by Damian Taylor. And she's described Damian Taylor as the Robin to her Batman.
Hmm.
Am I the Robin or the Batman?
Oh. I don't know. Depends on the day.
Mm.
And Bjork, about this song, said... Say it in your best, Bjork, please.
I recommend playing staccato Morse codes on brass instruments if you are eager for luscious lips.
You do a really good Bjork, please.
You do it first.
No.
Okay, maybe when you're older. Did your parents ever say that to you?
Yes.
So we got now the lyrics, symbolism, and themes.
So this song centers around the themes of exploration,
yearning,
wanderlust, and yearning.
Yeah. Yeah.
All those things. We have a lot of that.
You and I?
Yeah. We like to travel. Like we like to explore. We like to almost die.
Yes, this is true.
We dream about our next trip.
Yes.
That's wanderlust.
What do you think our next trip is?
I don't know. Probably back to fucking Spain.
That's all right. I'll have a friend, maybe.
Yeah. And we're going to do other
family.
Parts. We're going to do other parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do it right this time. It's like COVID. I always want COVID to happen again.
Cause... No, don't say that, because we've had good times in Madrid. It's not like all of Spain is...
So I'm just like, so I can do it right next time, because I didn't like the way I handled it.
Okay.
Yeah. I could have done it better. We got a caller.
It's blowing up your phone.
Oh, it's the tickets for Sunday.
Oh.
Okay.
From Nicole?
Yes.
Thanks, girl.
So... She has said this is like a spiritual sequel to earlier tracks like Hyper Ballad, Isabel, and Yoga. And she called it a continuation of Hyper Ballad. Do you need help?
It's my headphones are stuck. Okay, tell her to go to bed.
Go to bed. Yeah, it's about the chase for something you know you'll never actually catch.
Have you ever chased something that you knew you'd never catch? I haven't.
I thought that was you for a second. For a hot minute, but now look at me.
It's like a praying mantis.
You're
eating
quite
its...
a catch.
Oh, you're quite a catcher. And there's also a bit of self-parody of her own, like constantly wanting to have, you know, like newness and
I get
the
that.
Latest thing.
Hey, I get that. You know, I'm constantly trying to talk myself down from not being bored of life and.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because you just.
No, I get it.
Once you get bored, you get sad, and you're just like, you gotta. Like, this is why I dress the way I do. I don't know.
You have a very flowery shirt on, and it looks like it's backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like Celine Dion.
I was doing that before, sure.
Were you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think you were like 12 when she did that.
I tell you. Anyway.
Oh, so. Okay.
She has a lyric that goes, I'm leaving this harbor, giving Urban a farewell. Its habitants seem too keen on God. And that was her reflecting on, like, the culture shock of living in the U.S. for 8 years and, you know, dealing with, like, conservative people and mass shootings and, you know, moral binaries.
What's a moral binary?
Just, like, where everything's, like, you know, people who see things in black and white. You're either with them or you're not.
Okay.
And it's just, like...
I get it. So Celine Dion wore that in 1999 on the red carpet of the Grammys, that backwards Galliano suit.
Yeah.
So you were 11?
Yeah.
And you were already doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. I've lost my origin and I don't want to find it again. Whether sailing into nature's laws and be held by ocean's paws. The lyric. Will you repeat it? Because I would need to hear it. Because when I read it, I don't get it.
So she's saying, I've lost my origin, and I don't want to find it again, whether sailing into nature's laws and be held by ocean's paws. You get it? She's
I get it now.
Okay. So it's a timeless, poetic, and it's motivational. It feels like a painting of a ship at sea. You know those paintings? My grandma used to have them around her house. She's full of so many interests. She's got dragons, roosters, and ships. But I think she probably got rid of all the ships. Those are probably...
And crosses.
And crosses, yes. She's a big Christian.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, props. And the lyrics were co-written with Sean?
Yeah.
Sean or Jean?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's a longtime collaborator on songs like Isabel and Bachelorette and Oceania.
Yeah. And I think he also wrote some of the Northman.
Hmm. Talk about the video.
What's happening?
Doesn't it look like in the video the guy is walking around with the bananas on his head?
What are you talking about? Anyway, the video was directed by Isaiah Sachs.
The one that's humping her, he looks like he has banana hat on.
Isaiah Sachs and Sean Helfrich of Encyclopedia Pictura.
And Bjork contacted them after seeing their video for Grizzly Bears, The Knife.
Yeah. And they shot it at Matthew Barney's studio in New York City.
Of course they did.
And it was created in stereoscopic 3D using a custom-built camera system. And it took 9 months to complete.
Wasn't worth it.
Oh.
It's just not one of my favorite videos of hers.
And it features choreography by Chris Ellum of Misnomer Dance.
It has stunt performances by Brianne Billingsley and Coco Carell. Should we know who they are?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Oh.
That's Bjork and a Mexican.
And that's me and a Mexican. Oh. Oh, no, that's Bjork and a Mexican. I get it. That's funny.
What is this picture of you?
What? I was on the video That was in the video.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Was this your MySpace picture?
Yeah. No. It was when I went to go to her MoMA retrospective. Yeah.
You look like a baby there.
That was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yes.
And I like your polka dot. Is that a scarf? What?
I'm wearing a polka dot polo from H&M.
Wow.
And I'm probably wearing my Zip Up hoodie from Coachella.
That you still have.
I still have, because until I go to Coachella again to get another one.
All right.
I don't know.
And who directed this video?
Isaiah Saxton. And he said it was inspired by Hayao Miyazaki, Stanley Kubrick, and Walt Disney's 1930 animation work.
You know, there's a lot of like weird fanfic about Bjork and Madonna being in a Pixar movie together, playing a Disney princess and an evil. Like, there's a lot of it.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I found a bunch of pictures. I like the second one.
Well, let's make it happen.
Okay. What is this feature? What kind of characters?
It's got the river god, the paint body. What?
Which one's the river god? The one that's humping her?
No, that was the water face that came up. Oh, yeah. And you're sticking his tongue out.
And who's the pain body?
That was the one that's humping her.
Okay.
Well, obviously.
And it incorporates something called hydromancy, which is like necromancy.
Yeah. But
about water.
It's a divination using water to access hidden knowledge or glimpse of the future. Have you tried that?
Every time I shower.
Did I tell you? That's why I take long showers.
As far as, what are other kind of facts about the video?
The directors used a hair module and soft image XSI to simulate the CG river.
Ah, that makes sense. So
that's why it looked like spaghetti noodles, like gyrating
spaghetti noodles. And I guess it required 3D, custom 3D camera rigs and a lot of months of rendering work. Again, you know, I applaud the artistic, ambition.
Integrity.
Ambition that they had with it, but
it's not that bad.
Okay.
I think it's really good.
All right.
I would watch a whole movie. In fact,
oh, I couldn't.
They showed this at the Flux Festival at the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles. We've been to a Flux Festival.
Yeah.
Last year, actually.
Last
November.
Yeah. At, where was that at?
Somewhere.
It was new. It opened it. It was part of the Jewish cultural center.
In Koreatown.
Yeah.
Did you read this article?
Bjork's killer sandwich. It's so weird that they place like a roast beef sandwich by her, like punani. Just a weird placement of it in this image.
Okay.
What is this? Is like People Magazine? Bjork's killer sandwich. Where's the roast beef? Stuck in Bjork's throat? The singer nearly choked to death while shooting a music video. Is this true?
Yeah.
Oh. She crammed a roast beef sandwich into her mouth during a break. And before you know it, she was choking and gasping for air. Wow. They really should not put the roast beef sandwich so close to her vagina in this picture.
Yeah.
Luckily, someone from the crew ran over and Heimlicked her.
Heimlicked her.
And it says apparently that she was unfazed. She was just like, whatever.
That's classic Bjork.
Classic Bjork.
Well, yeah, like we were saying, they should make a film. Well, guess what? This year, they released a film with A24.
Wait, Isaiah Saxton released it?
Yeah, and it was called The Legend of Oki.
Oh, that's what you made me watch?
Yeah, that's what I made you watch.
Well, his graphics got better, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
It still looks like something I wouldn't want to watch. But I don't. I've never seen it. Like a
I would watch
Pixar
it.
Or
I would
Disney
watch
movie.
It after this.
The only one I saw was that Mexican one. The one about Santeria. Is that Disney?
What was it called? Coco?
Yeah, that one I saw. Coco. That's the only Disney film I've seen in the last like 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah. Well, she performed this live in 2007 on Saturday Night Live, the Conan O'Brien show, and at Coachella.
And Scarlett Johansson was the host who introduced her.
Did you see her do this at Coachella? Did you see her do this at Coachella?
Yes.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing right now?
No. Oh.
You should have saw it earlier. Wait.
Why do you put these things on?
Hold on.
It's somebody dressed like Big Bird that's like taking this girl from behind. Oh my god. What movie is this?
It's called Funky Forest.
Who's it by?
Oh, I forget. Some Japanese director.
Let me see. Whoops.
Oh.
Calm down.
Party fail.
Katsushiro Ishii.
Oh, wow. You got good eyesight. I cannot read that. That's alarming. Oh, because you got the...
I thought that it was a Borat remix.
Well, I saw her do this live at the FYF Festival in Los Angeles in 2017, and she was with Arca.
Hmm. Was it good?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Is that how you first learned about Arca?
How did I learn about Arca?
That's probably when you started, like, being into Arca, because she was into Bjork.
No, I actually knew about... Okay, well, maybe I heard about him through her, and then I checked him out, because he was also doing stuff with the fashion label Hood by Air.
Yeah.
And, or, I'm sorry, she...
I was like, I thought maybe you knew that they were called Heathen.
Then, free transition.
Okay.
So he, sorry.
But now, do they go by she or they?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a,
racist?
Am I a millennial? I don't even know. I'm sure. Still getting used to the pronouns.
Okay.
So are you.
As far as remixes and covers, there was a Rat-Tat-Tat remix.
Yes.
And...
Matthew Herbert remix.
And a Vitamin String Quartet. You just can't shake them.
No, they're everywhere.
They're like...
They do everything.
They do everything.
And I love it.
Okay.
I love strings. And they did a string arrangement.
Do you have any personal... attachment to the song?
I did a cover of Wanderlust last summer.
You did. And it was majestic.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Can we hear a bit of it?
Yeah.
You need to get back in the studio.
What are you talking about? That was bad?
No, you need to get back in the studio and be making more music.
Oh.
It's a compliment.
Okay.
Jeez.
You can never tell these days. Yeah. Anyways, Bjork said this song is the heart of the album.
You know, I found out while I was researching this that Bjork's never won a Grammy.
Yeah, she doesn't care. Because Grammys are American. Americans just feel like she is like this weird Icelandic woman. And
yeah.
They're never going to give her one.
Okay.
Not as long as Trump is president.
Well, that's for sure. Well, I called this cocktail, Where's My Fucking Grammy?
Yeah.
And it's a Dramatic diva drink with enough smoke, sparkle, and bitterness to throw shade across a banquet hall.
Because that's what I always say when you make me a cocktail. You're like, what are you talking about?
And this, where's my fucking Grammy, has whiskey, Cynar, Aperol, and lemon juice.
Yes.
All combined to, I'm be, also like, to fuck you up.
Where's my fucking Oscar?
Yours?
Yeah.
For being...
For keeping up this act for so long. This podcast?
This is the act you're talking about?
Yes.
You make me do this.
I know. I love
it. What are your closing thoughts?
Well, first I want to know, when did you first hear this album?
Oh. I first heard this album when it came out. I don't know. I was into Bjork. I was into alternative music. She was someone I followed, and I was excited that she had a new album coming out. And then I heard, like, the first single from it, and I was like, oh, maybe that's, you know, just the bad one. And then I got the album. I actually went and paid for the CD. I bought it, and I put it in my CD player, in my Walkman, my Discman.
Where were you living at the time?
I was living in San Francisco. I was living here, and I had a Sony Discman, and I put it in my Discman, and I walked from Petrero Hill.
A Discman in 2007?
Yeah.
Gross.
I bought it on eBay.
Why weren't you using, like, I was even using an iPod back then.
Because I wanted the disc.
All right.
I thought it was cool.
And
it was like records now. Like, do you need a record player?
What neighborhood were you living in?
In Petrero Hill.
Okay.
And I walked all the way from Petrero Hill here to the mall, to Market Street.
Oh, where did you get it? Where'd you get the CD?
Oh, I was in LA and I bought it at Tower Records.
And then you brought it all the way back to San Francisco?
It's a CD, not an amble.
You went all the way to LA to buy
it? Not just to get it, I was there for work.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I bought this cool Discman from eBay because I had CDs at the time and I didn't want to get rid of them. Yeah, me. I know.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm going to get a Discman, I'm going to listen to all my CDs, then I'm going to get rid of them. And I did it. And look at me now, free as a bird.
Well, I got this album after spending 3 months in Europe and coming back home. It was the only thing I was looking forward to. It was exciting and disappointing at the same time. I got it from a Best Buy. And I remember the salesperson was like, do we have Mars Volta? I was like, what? No.
That's a band.
Like, I know, but like, listen to me. I said Volta. And she's like, Mars Volta? And I was like, no. Fucking bitch. I wonder where she is now. Anyway, I feel she just... Bjork. I feel she just really wanted to be part of the MySpace aesthetic that...
It sounds like the salesperson did too.
Yeah. That included people like MIA, Jeremy Scott, and Crystal Castles and such. Yes. And myself.
And yourself. No. Yeah.
You were trying to be a part of that scene. You were at Coachella all the time.
I was. But I didn't have MySpace, so... I was on Friendster.
You had MySpace.
No, I didn't.
Never, ever.
Ever.
You.
I chose not to.
I don't believe that.
I chose not to.
Yeah. You have something to say?
Yeah. I got something to say.
Say it.
This is the end of episode 6 of season 6. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. It's on the top of the podcast. You wrote it there. Damn, bro. Yes, this is season 6, episode 6, and this is the beginning of our conversation about Volta by Björk, which is neither of our favorite albums, but Jesse has an obsession with doing everything in order, and he can't skip any, so we're doing this album, even though there's significantly more and better albums that we should be covering.
But it's fun, we get to talk trash about it, and when do we get to talk trash?
We talk trash every day. Say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Oh, what's next week?
More Volta. And we're doing the track.
You got more Volta?
We got the Dull Flame.
Carl, we got more Volta in stock?
Mars Volta? We got
yeah, what's next week?
We got the Dull Flame of Desire.
Okay.
Good one. Innocence, not so good. I See Who You Are. And Vertebrae.
All right, so we're doing 4 next week.
Yeah.
And, yeah, come back if you're not completely...
come back for the tea.
Come back for the tea. Stay for the crumpets. Bye.
Bye.